Turn your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. We are looking at God's instructions for the church. That God has given certain gifted people to the church to help the church grow. To help the church mature. And the saints are to be equipped so that they can do the work of the service to build up the body of Christ. What will the building up of the body of Christ, the maturity of Christ, look like, we've been discussing? Well, it said in verse 13, as we looked at this last week, that we would all attain to the unity of the faith. But as I read the doctrinal statement of that new church, I found that they disagree with us and we with them on issues. How do you explain that? Well, maybe not every issue of maturity is the way churches express them. If you had a maturity and unity of the faith, what do you think would be the unity and maturity of the faith? What would you say are the essentials of a church being mature in terms of what we believe? What would you tell me? Kelly says, we would believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is one God who expresses himself in three persons. What else? The virgin birth, because if Jesus was not miraculously born, he was a sinner like any one of us and could not die for the sins of the world. The function or purpose of the virgin birth was so that he would be the sinless Savior to take the sins of the world away. What else would you say is a mark of maturity? Huh? The death and physical resurrection of Jesus. That if Jesus was not physically raised from the dead, neither will we be. Jesus wasn't spiritually raised as a ghost. He was physically raised because the Bible promises us as he was resurrected, we will be resurrected physically. What else? What? Becky says that salvation is only through Jesus. By grace alone, through faith alone, by Jesus only. So far you're doing pretty good. What else? An essential of the faith, unity of the faith. What about the Word of God? Anything about the Word, Scripture? Wouldn't that be an essential? What would you say was an essential about God's Word? It's authoritative and has no errors. You want to add anything else to this? Sure doesn't sound like the essentials are many. Anything else you want to add to essentials? That which, without which, you couldn't have a church. Okay? Love for one another. Anything else? Huh? Christ is going to return physically and bodily. Anything else? How about if we said that the King James was the Word of God and only the King James? Would that be an essential? Well, that church that Yvonne gave me, that's their essential, that the inspired and errant Word of God can only be spoken in English. For all of you who speak Spanish, guess what? You're out of luck. Because if you don't have the King James in English, you don't have the inspired word. Have you ever thought about that? The English nation went around conquering people, stealing their resources, then gave them an English language Bible, and now they perpetrate the fraud that if you don't have the King James in English, you don't have the inspired and inerrant word of God. You want to make that an essential? Huh? Well, why wouldn't you want to make that? By the way, we're learning this morning. Why would you not want to make the King James an essential Bible inerrant? That's the only... First of all, what was the New Testament written in? What original language? So if they say the King James is inerrant and inspired, guess what? That must rule out the Greek. Because Jesus and the New Testament, it's all written in Greek. That must rule out the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, which is gone in Hebrew. Why? Because it was written in what? Hebrew. Why do you think people, what happened to people that you think they want to make the King James an essential part of the unity of the faith? What did you say, troublemaker? Who said that? I heard a troublemaker say that. Can you separate, and this is very important for you all to know this, can you separate what is essential in the Bible versus what is traditionally how we grow up in church? Can you? Huh? I say a lot of people have a hard time. How should you come, let's say this, how you dress in church, should that be an essential? The troublemaker says just as long as we dress. But I know churches that will tell you that if women aren't in dresses, I went to a church that told women they can't wear pantsuits on Sunday morning. Can you give me a chapter and verse? Well, that's the Old Covenant. If you're going to follow the Old Covenant and quote me, and I know what Willie was doing. If you're going to quote the Old Testament, then you have to live by the Old Testament. That means this. Here is the requirements for all of you Old Testament saints that like the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Here is what it says in Deuteronomy 27, 28, and 29. If you don't do it all, you're under a what? How many of you have had shrimp lately? How many of you have had lobster? How many of you love a pork or ham sandwich? Listen to me, if you're going to claim the Old Covenant and make it an essential, then you have to live by it. You can't take, pick and choose. This is why I laugh at Christians that want to be an Old Covenant Christian. Moses didn't say you can pick and choose. As a matter of fact, you can't even put a cotton and wool sweater together. Did you know that? In the Old Testament, the reason why God did this with His people in the Old Covenant was to make them peculiar, different. So He even told them cotton and wool couldn't be put together. How do you like that? So if you're going to live by the Old Covenant, don't just pick, well, I won't eat pork. You got to pick everything. That means, by the way, Sunday isn't the Sabbath. For all of you Old Covenant people. The Sabbath, if you're going to make the Old Covenant an essential, the Sabbath is from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. Guess what? This is the first day of the week. Why in the wide world are we meeting on the first day of the week and not the Sabbath? Who knows? We're celebrating on Sunday, not Sabbath, Shabbat. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is not the Sabbath today, but if you're an Old Covenant Christian, well, the reason why I bring that up is I thanked Yvonne. She gave me something that you never know when you give me something if it won't help me. And I looked up that church that's given away this morning. You're at the wrong church. A free breakfast, a free Bible. Now you know the free Bible at that church is going to be what translation? Because they've made the King James an essential. How many of you have a King James? Raise your hand. Do you have the new or the old King James? Huh? Because if you have the new, you're a heretic. This group believes only the old King James. The new King James is heretical. Next, how many of you, and I was in a Baptist church where I pastored, where a guy got up and started screaming about the fact that, how many of you have a tattoo or a piercing? I want you to know that this church, why do I do this? So that if you ever go to another church, you think about these things. This church says that if you have tattoos and piercings, they're against it. Now, how in the world, do you ladies pierce your ears? Do you guys have tattoos and piercings? I know today men wear earrings. My son Josh. And years ago, just to tweak the church, I bought some magnetic earrings at Walmart, got myself a big diamond magnetic earring. How many remember Barbara Hicks? And I walked into choir practice when Barbara was in choir wearing my magnetic diamond earring. No one even noticed until I finally had to go like this to Barbara to get her to even notice. Oh, nice earring, she said, and moved on. Now, let me ask you something. I read the doctrinal statement of this Baptist church. Where do you think they got the idea that there are to be no piercings or tattoos worn by people in Jesus' church? That's the Old Covenant. Jesus said on the night in which he was betrayed, this is the what covenant in my blood? So here is what we have. The problem we have with Christians is they're not very bright. Why would you, in writing your doctrinal statement, want to include a pick and choose of tattoos or piercings? What did Jesus teach about what you are on the outside? Jesus said something about what you are on the outside. What did he say? What goes into a person does not defile a person. What's on the outside doesn't. What defiles a person according to Jesus? Yet, you're going to get a free breakfast, a free Bible, but you will be judged if you are in pantsuits, ladies, men or women, if you have tattoos. Now, how do you like that? It says that if we are Jesus' church, he wants us to come, pastors and teachers, building up the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith. But many of you won't read doctrinal statements of churches because they'll include this. You'd be shocked at what's included in doctrinal statements. How about this? Have you ever seen some things in doctrinal statements that you found odd, by the way? Anybody? Huh? Well, this is just scratching the surface of what many churches, I know of churches that have split over baptism. That should you baptize a person and dunk them three times or just once? You want to make that an essential? Have you ever been playing on the playground and maybe you're in the sandbox and it's somebody's sandbox? It's not at your house. Remember when you were a kid and people... Remember, do kids still have sandboxes today? Huh? Or is it video games now? Very few have... Remember the sandbox you used to play in? And if you went over to someone's sandbox, what essentially happened if you're playing in someone else's sandbox? What happens? You have to play by their rules. How many have ever, when they were children, went over to somebody's house, and when you played with them, since it was their house, it was their rules? Anybody? You remember that? Can you tell us some stories? It was like, hey, this is my sandbox. There were people, when I was very little in California, everybody's got a pool. But back east, if you had a pool, that was an exception. And so neighbors would use a pool to restrict. If you're not good to me, you won't get to have a swim in my pool. Today, California's got all sorts of pools. As a kid, did you ever have that situation where you had to do, did you conform or not? Well, let me ask you something. You did that as a child, right? And somebody made up rules. And they made up arbitrary rules. And you did it when? When you were a what? Well, do you think it's mature for God's church to start making up some of these massively odd rules for God's people to live by? You did it when you were playing in a sandbox. Somebody now, I'm giving you examples, they just start making this stuff up. God wants His church to be what? Not to be like children. And yet, this is not what I find. What is a mark of maturity? If you were going to say, and I started to look up some articles on what marks maturity, if you would say that person is a very mature person, what are you looking? What are the qualities of that person that you're seeing in that person? Always. I think it's good for everybody to keep up with certain things, but it really looks bad when maybe a mature person is wearing what little kids would wear. Do you think that's mature? But it happens, doesn't it? What else would you say is a mark of being... What is maturity, by the way? What is maturity? If you say, wow, that's a very mature person, what is maturity? Huh? So somebody that wants it all their way, I think Wanda is saying, just like the kid in the sandbox, if you want it all your way, guess what? You're a kid. A mature person in a church should recognize, guess what? It can't be all your way. And when we get people who are in charge at our church and it has to be all their way or the highway... Is that mature? What other are marks of maturity for you? How about a person that always flies off the handle and gets angry? When you were a kid, did you ever have a playmate that if they didn't get their way, they started getting really mad and took their toys and went home? Yes or no? Did you ever experience that? I did. You can't play with my toys or my soldiers or whatever because you didn't do it in my way. Guess what the church faces all the time? People that have to have it all their way. What other marks of maturity do you think would indicate a mature person if you said, wow, that person is mature? Huh? What would be a Christ-like attitude to you, Becky? How would you perceive a Christ-like attitude? What does that mean to you? Huh? Jesus was very patient. So we wouldn't want people to fly off the handle. What one time did Jesus get very angry? There was only one time. It wasn't with prostitutes. It wasn't with sinners. It wasn't with people shacking up. When did Jesus get angry? What? With the money changers and the religious what? Fundamentalists. The only time Jesus ever got mad and made a whip was with the banksters. You cannot serve God in money. What else would be a mark of maturity for you if you said, that's a mature person? Okay, how would that express itself as a Christian? When you reach your full level of maturity, how does that express itself? What is Christ-likeness? What is this? You know, we're talking about things, but then I began to realize as I preached through this, we've got to make this concrete for everybody. What is a mature person? How is love? What how does love express itself? Huh? Was Jesus kind to those who weren't kind to him? What is humility? This is not going to be an easy sermon. I determined to make this concrete this morning, to make everybody realize we've got these Christian terms, but we don't make them concrete in our mind. They're ambiguous to us. Not thinking more of yourself. Well, if you want it all your way, you must think it's what? That I'm the only one that knows what they're doing. What else? What's maturity for a person? If you said that person is a very mature person, they're not going to have a real anger problem that they fly off the handle immediately. I've been in those meetings in churches where deacons and elders flew off the handle, where people flew off the handle. Is that mature? Where people wanted it all their way. Now, I can see if you insist that it should be the Bible's way, but so far, when you've told me the essentials of what we should believe, I don't know if anybody here would disagree with those essentials. But when we found that churches drift over into non-essentials like the King James and tattoos and piercings, who gives a rip? They do. Here is what this one article says is maturity. It's kind of funny. We talk about the term maturity, but often we, frankly, don't really know what it means. A mature person keeps long-term commitments. Suppose you took out a mortgage and you didn't commit to the 360 months of the terrorist banking system that says they're charging you 4%, but they're actually collecting 75% interest every month. If you pay $2,000 for a mortgage, and believe me, I know about those, I discovered they get $1,500 a month, not the 4%. It's a game that they're playing with you. If you don't commit to that, they'll take your house. So a mature person commits to long-term interest. But guess what happens? Immature people. Church doesn't do something I like. What do people usually do when the church doesn't do something they like? What do? They leave. There have been 4 episodes in this church, long before I got here, about people who decided the best thing for me is I don't get my way, I'm going to what? Sign of a mature person is to, you commit to a church, you stay there and help it. What's the next one? You're unshaken by flattery or criticism. Don't you think a mature person, if they get insulted, You roll with it or not. But if you immediately want to defend yourself, the more you are defensive, when they criticize Jesus, how did Jesus handle it? Huh? He didn't respond in kind. So, we all like flattery, don't we? I'm not so good with criticism, and that means Pastor Dave has some maturing to do. How about this? A mature person expresses humility. By the way, what is humility? Huh? What does that mean? If you could point out a humble person, what would that be? If you could say, wow, that's a humble person. They think of others first. They don't put themselves number one. What? They know how to apologize when they're wrong. That's something I got to be honest with you. Can I be honest with you? I hated as a kid. I had a smart mouth. I never forget when Rachel was 3 years, 2 years old, 3 years old. She was throwing marbles, just a little kid, barely out of a diaper. She was throwing marbles into the vents of the heater in Alabama. And I said, don't do that. I'm going to have a terrible time getting that out of the vent. She said, this little girl, barely bigger than this. I didn't even know she could talk at the time. She turned to me and with complete expression, that's your problem, she said. And I looked going, that would be, but then I didn't respond in kind. Why? Because that would have been some statement I would have made. So we can accept flattery, but when we get criticism, how do we respond to criticism? I have a smart mouth. And I've got to be careful that if I'm not careful, I can say things real quick. That's not mature. The next thing. You're basing your decisions not on your feelings, but on the facts, on the essential nature of what's going on and not your feelings. How do you like that? Well, I feel strongly about this, but what are the facts? And I don't see sometimes people acting on the facts. They act more on their feelings. There's a lot of times if we acted on our feelings, we'd never get anything done. To be honest with you, do you know what the day is when I feel the least like preaching? Sunday. I don't know why it's been that way with me. And then you all know what's been going on. I told you in Sunday school something's been going on, and it makes it even harder for me to preach when these things occur. An issue that is not really directly related to me, so on that. So you don't go by your feelings, because if you went by your feelings, you're going to be mad at Pastor Dave every time he preaches, because I'm going to step on somebody's toes. It's just the nature of it. By the way, a mature person, it says, expresses gratitude. You ever notice kids? I did that to my dad. I shouldn't have done that. I remember so many times my dad would get me something and I feel bad. You ever feel, do you feel guilty about your childhood when you were, I remember my grandma who didn't have much money and I was a little kid of five. You know, kids want wrapped presents. I feel terrible. If my grandma was here, I'd say, Grandma, please forgive me for this, but she gave me $3. Today, I'd take the money, but then you want the present. I said, oh. I got upset that I didn't get a present. I feel horrible about that. I do. She was a poor grandma. My dad's mom didn't have anything, and that was a lot of money. You look at that and you go, forgive me, grandma. I wasn't. You're not grateful. That's children. Children are never grateful. Have you had children that are grateful or ungrateful for what you've done for them? My point is, if we want to tear this out and see what Paul is saying, is that these are the characteristics that we don't want in a church. And it's common sense that we become... So the goal is, really, in maturity here, is to obtain to a united belief and maturity in Christ-likeness. Come to an elders' meeting and see if something we discuss will not upset you. Come to a church meeting in which something we discuss will not upset you. It will upset you. Maturity means, how do you respond to those things? If you withdraw from the church because you don't get your way, is that maturity? So even if you're upset, you stick with it and work with the people, because that's what Jesus would do. That's maturity. Until we have the full knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature person, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now that's the goal. Here is the goal that you have to be like. Exactly like Jesus. That's maturity. You want to define it simply? Your goal is to be just like Jesus. And so every time I do something, I keep thinking, what would Jesus do? What would he do? And when you begin to think and study how Jesus was, and look at the Word and become like him, that's the maturity that God has in mind for his people. It's just that way, and that's simple.